Bloody Mary Podcast.
Welcome to the Bloody Mary Podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking the Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy. And we are totally married. Mm. We got our Bloody Marys. And tonight we are reviewing The Cabinet of Curiosities.
Yeah. We're going to be going over each episode individually and rating them. We'll be spoiler free unless we say something. For the most part, hopefully. Yes, we will be spoiler free so people can listen to it.
Absolutely.
And then we'll say something before we spoil or a little bit after.
Like, oh my God, I'm sorry I spoiled it for you. Usually it's me.
So, merchandise. We have stuff.
We do.
We also have an Amazon wish list where you can go and get us some cool things for the podcast. Some small stuff like Bloody Mary mixes, even some tiki mugs, bigger things like equipment, things we need to make the podcast better and more fun.
Yeah. Or head over to the merch site and get some t-shirts, sweatshirts, some beanies.
Yeah.
Some cool shit.
Yep. www.bloodymarypodcast.com. Go check it out.
Yeah.
We could use your support.
We could.
So, The Cabinet of Curiosities.
Yes.
So, this series is pretty cool. It reminded me of The Masters of Horror. That was on Showtime in like the early 2000s. Did you see any of those?
I don't think I did, but we've talked about it.
Yeah. So, that was really cool. It had a lot of big directors like John Carpenter did one. Mick Garris did one. Stuart Gordon. Toby Hooper, who directed Texas Chainsaw, they all did some. There's a whole bunch of directors did those, and I think it went for like two or three seasons. But anyways, it reminded me of that. Mm. So that was pretty cool. So Cabinet of Curiosities. Mm-hmm. So for me, there's like, it's like a race. There's a clear first place. There's a clear winner in this for me.
Okay.
And then there's definitely a clear second and third. Just equate it to like a track race or something. So first comes in, second comes in, third. And then a few minutes later, you get this whole group of people that come in.
Like some moms and pushing strollers.
Yep, for sure. Just, you know, meandering. And then like 10 minutes later, everyone's looking at their clocks. Then you hear in the distance. And then you see this big guy running, just sweat pouring. And just the rolls going. He's like, guys, I'm here. Just smelling like beef stew. And he finally makes it.
He does make it.
Yes, he made it. So that's last place. So that's how I view at least this season of Cabinet of Curiosities. So clear to me that there's a clear for second and third.
Agreed.
Yeah. So is that how you feel? Do you feel like the same, or were there a lot you liked? Were there a lot you didn't like? Or was it like,
I think there is for me, a clear top three. Yes.
Okay.
And then there is one that I absolutely fucking hated and I didn't understand why we had to keep watching it.
Which
so I was like, ugh.
I think it might be the same one. Because we didn't really talk too much about
as
we watched, because we knew we were going to do a podcast. But there was one that we were both kind of sharing the same
thing. Sentiments.
Yes. I want to go ahead and try and guess what your favorite three are and what like your least favorite three are.
All right.
And I just want to see if we get there.
All right.
So I think your top three in no particular order are going to be The Autopsy, The Murmuring, and Graveyard Rats. And I think your bottom three in no particular order. Well, maybe the last one. The Outside, The Viewing, and Dreams in the Witch House. For you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So I think your top three in no particular order is The Autopsy, The Viewing, and Graveyard Rats.
Okay.
And I think your bottom three in no particular order is Dreams at the Witch of the Witch House, or in the Witch House, The Murmuring, and The Outside.
Hmm. All right, we'll see how this plays out.
All right, let's dig in.
All right, so let's starting with the first one. The first one is called Lot 36, directed by Guillermo Navarro, starring Tim Blake Nelson. And this one's about a dickish dude who buys storage lockers and flips them, and then he purchases one from a weird Nazi.
Right.
What do you think about this one, the first one to kick off the series?
I think it was a fun kickoff.
Yeah, me too. I agree with that.
I liked the... I'm trying not to spoil, but like...
Well, yeah. Okay, I think...
The big bad, I guess.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Okay.
I thought that was a really cool design.
The big bad. Okay. Yeah. I vaguely remember. Okay. Now I'm getting it. Now it's coming back to me.
I'm trying not to spoil.
Oh yeah. That's yeah. I like that this is one of the shorter ones. I think this is the second shortest one. It had a 45-minute runtime. I really felt that was like a good runtime.
Yeah.
For these, because I think some of them do run a little too long. I think this is one of the better ones. I think one thing that really stood out for me in this one, it was so simple. It was in this complex where the storage unit complex, in order to turn the lights on, it was a timer. Yes. And so you turn it and your light's on for however, you know, minutes, seconds, whatever.
Light goes off.
And then it goes off and you have to turn it again. I thought that was a really fun mechanism and a cool mechanic to have in the film because it played in with lighting, it played in with sound, and it played in with tension.
Yeah. Yeah. It helped build that tension and you're like, oh, and he's like, oh, fuck, I gotta, stops. And then you're like, oh, is something gonna happen? Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that. And I liked it. Sebastian Roche was in it, who I love. Who's in like every Supernatural type TV show in General Hospital.
Yeah, I'm trying
to... He plays a great bad guy, so I was excited to see him.
Yeah, so I thought it was a fun premise. I get one thing I didn't like about this was, and I feel this with a lot of films, and I think you might feel the opposite, but I don't... Not to spoil anything, half spoiler, but I don't think he deserved his fate, right? He was a dick, yes, but he wasn't like... a murderer. He wasn't pure evil. So I don't think he deserved the fate he got in this.
Okay. I think that he should have listened. And because he didn't listen and he was greedy.
Yeah. Stuff happens.
Stuff happens.
You know, but still, I mean, warrant what the... Okay, yeah. So I think overall it was just a great kickoff.
It was.
And I think... So my rating for this is 6 out of 10 Bloody Marys.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I would put it at a 7.
7?
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, let's move
so
on.
So close.
Yeah. We are around the same thing. Number 2, Graveyard Rats, directed by Vincenzo Natalia. I'm going to mess up so many names. Vincenzo Natalia. Natalia. Okay. Starring David Hewlett. And this one's a slimy grave robber in the plague times, robs a wealthy grave, but falls into underground tunnels, like littered with rats and supernatural stuff.
Right.
What'd you think of this one?
I thought this one was good. This one built up the claustrophobia really well.
Yeah.
The rats are gross.
Yeah.
Rats are gross.
Rats are fun.
Like, unless they're a pet mouse that you, or pet rat you got from the, you know, the pet store.
Yeah.
Like, running around free, gross. Nope. No, thank you.
They're not as gross for me. I just thought they were fun.
They're gross. They're even grosser for me when there's more than two.
Oh, and they're, yeah.
When there's a gaggle when there's or a there's herd of them coming at you.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, there's something, I forget a term, but like when rats ball up into a ball, what's that called?
Oh, it's like a king something.
Mm-hmm.
And they get all tangled. Oh, that's fucking weird and gross.
Yeah.
And like you just happen upon like a all tangled up ball of rats.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I like all that stuff. I also really like how this was the shortest runtime at 37 minutes. So this one for me really nailed everything like in those 37 minutes. It didn't drag on.
It didn't.
This is one of my favorites. It's very well done. I like the one guy, one location thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, you open with, you know, they're robbing graves and then he gets into the underground tunnels while robbing a grave.
Right.
And I have a soft spot for idiots that fight supernatural things. And this is kind of what that was. This guy wasn't the brightest.
No.
He's down there battling rats and big rats and other magic stuff. And,
right.
You know, without spoiling too much, he encounters in 37 minutes quite a few things down there.
Oh, he does. Yeah. And the pace, like you said, the pace is really nice.
Yeah.
It flows great. You're not going, ugh, like it's not dragging. You're not wondering why the fuck I'm watching this.
Yeah.
It builds the tension. It gets to the point. Like, it adds fun little twists, you know.
Yeah, twists and turns, like in the tunnel.
Twists and turns, and it's not long. And it doesn't drag on or anything like that. So I really enjoyed this one a lot.
Yeah, me too. But this is, I feel the same way about the first one, where this is another case of, I don't think this man deserved what his fate was. Like, So you both shared similar traits, right?
They
from
did.
From
greed.
The first film and the second one, they were both greedy. But I don't know. I like this character was more endearing to me than the character in the first one.
Yes, I would agree with that. He was more endearing, even though he was also a thief. But he was like...
He was more of a simpleton thief, right? He wasn't the brightest.
No.
Yeah.
And he was kind of charming.
Yeah.
And he was he was great at bullshitting in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, he's a charlatan for sure.
Mm-hmm. And this was
he's
set during
street
this,
smart.
This was set during the plague times, too. I forget the term for that. 1800s, was it? 1700s?
I don't know.
1600s. Plague time, Jack the Ripper era. That's when this took place. So for rating, what do you give this?
I give it a 9.
I give it a solid 8 Bloody Marys. I really like this one a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I do too.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Moving on. The third one, Autopsy, directed by David Pryor, starring F. Murray Abraham. And this one's a seasoned sheriff investigates a dead body in the woods and calls on an old pal, a medical examiner, to help piece together a series of chilling events. And this one is the highest rated of all of them on Internet Movie Database at a 7.9. And so here, I'm going to get into something here. So usually I'm really objective on films.
Right.
And like, I can see why people like things. I can see why people don't like things. Like, for example, Old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really loved
that movie.
So I had blinders on for Old.
Right.
And I can't see why people don't like it. The reverse for this is for me. I hate this one.
Really?
I don't know why people like this and why it's rated so high. I don't see much good about this at all.
What?
I don't like this one.
What?
I don't like the pacing. I don't like the time jumping. I think the autopsy stuff went way too long. I think the talking corpse stuff is ridiculous. I don't like this one at all.
Okay.
What do you think? I mean, so
I liked it. I really liked it.
I know you did. I could see it.
I do get why you don't like it. I can see that, I guess. But like, I just liked it. I liked the autopsy part was like my favorite.
Yeah, see, like, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. I can't.
And like, he's like,
for some reason,
It was good. I like it. It built tension. I thought it did. And it was like...
I didn't think about built any tension. I didn't feel any tension. I thought the pacing was so off. I didn't.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
There are some good things. I like the era. I believe this was set in the 80s. Mm. Or late 70s?
Yeah, it seemed like that.
Because they were using analog stuff because he had to record his autopsies on an analog tape recorder and things like that. I do like the actors. I think they're really good. I like the cinematography, but wow, I couldn't. I didn't like this. There are some good things, but I just didn't like it. And this, so I love the X-Files, but this seemed to me like an alternate universe X-Files episode to where you're seeing Mulder and Scully elderly and it's their very last case. Like, if you can imagine that, like,
okay?
If you can imagine Scully is the autopsy person and Mulder is that cop, it's like they're old, they're like close to death, this is their last alien case. Like,
okay.
If you could put yourself, I could see that, right? That's
okay.
What else is good about it?
I just
convince me.
I don't think I will convince you because you don't like it. I like the autopsy part. I like all of that. To me, that's building tension going through each and like opening. I'm trying not to spoil too. So how can I convince you if I can't spoil anything?
Well, no. Okay, so the ending. How they defeat whatever. I didn't get it. I didn't buy into it. I understand it. I blinders. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it.
Well, we are going to agree to disagree because I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how many Bloody Marys do you give it?
Three.
Three?
I gave it 3 Bloody Marys. It gets some redemption from the things I said. Like, I like the era, I like the actors, I like the cinematography, but everything else, oh boy, it's just shit in a bucket.
Okay.
What about you?
I gave it a 9.
A 9? Yeah.
I liked it that much.
Holy crap.
I like when we disagree, though, because yeah. It doesn't happen often.
I know. A 9. Well, you know, I kind of figured. I think that's what I said one of your favorites is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put that as one of your favorites, too, but that was clearly wrong.
All right. This is fun. All right. Moving on. So number 4, the 4th film in this anthology is The Outside, directed by Anna Lily Amirpour, starring Haley Baughton. And this one is about longing to fit in at work. Awkward Stacy begins to use a popular lotion that causes an alarming reaction while an unnerving transformation takes shape. What did you think about The Outside?
I fucking hated it. I hated it so much. I didn't understand why we were watching it. It just kept dragging on. Like, is it gonna? Mm-hmm. No, it's still fucking going.
Yeah.
I enjoy those actors as comedic actors.
That's true. Yes.
I really enjoy them. Mm. Not in this.
Yep.
This was just fuck. We're gonna continue. Like, it could have been totally stopped if he would have said something and been like, put his foot down and. It was just, I hated it.
Yeah. So this, it's like the whole thing is like this chick who's, she's not fitting in anywhere. And then she sees an advertisement on TV for this lotion, and people in her peer group are using it, and it's supposed to transform you and make you beautiful.
Right.
Well, then she starts to get like allergic reaction. her skin starts burning. And then is this whole weird, like, is this lotion working? Is she crazy? Is it an entity, this lotion, or what's going on?
What's going on?
Yeah. I didn't like it at all either. I just didn't like it at all. As opposed to Autopsy, I get this one and I still hate it. I understand what the director was trying to do. She's trying to do a Cronenberg, Lynchian kind of thing. And it just, I think it misfired on every single thing. I think it was miscast. I think the plot was so annoying that he wouldn't do anything.
Right,
like she kept rubbing lotion on herself and
spoilers.
Like huge, like well, it's not
usually I'm the spoiler,
but rashes all over her body, and she's like, "It's just a rash," and he's like, "Oh, just be careful."
Right, you should maybe stop.
Yeah,
like if that was you and me, you'd be like, "We are going to the hospital. Yeah, I will throw your ass over my shoulder and force you."
If you had like 10% of that rash, we would be in the emergency room.
Right.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
All of that lotion would disappear. From the house.
Yes, it would. Yeah, for sure. And why did Dan, that's his name, Dan Stevens, he was the guy on the commercial.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's a great actor. I don't know why he agreed to do that.
I don't
know. Maybe it's because
a favor?
It was shot separately from the core film because it's an advertisement.
Right.
So that could have been it. Yeah, I just... and there's like a mix of Fargo in there. She tried to do something a little too quirky. There's like a message about what it's like to be beautiful, what it's like to fit in.
All that. I don't fucking care. Yeah. I hated it.
The only thing I liked was like there were a couple of her coworkers were like kind of like banging MILFs. And I was like, yeah. there's like a couple, especially the main one. I'm like, yeah, you're doing it for
me.
So
here's the difference between you and me, because the only thing I liked about this was the taxidermy part of it.
Yeah, that was cute.
And you're like, some banging MILFs, and I'm like, taxidermy.
Well, that part
so
was
there's
cute
the
too.
Difference
like,
between us.
Like she was the she was given taxidermy as gifts, which was super cute. Yeah, the ending shot for this was so unnecessary. It's like she had this ending shot, and then she's with this group of people, and then she's like elevated up, and the camera holds on her face for what seems like 5 minutes,
fucking forever.
And it's like, roll the credits, please, roll the fucking credits. And this one was like just over an hour too, so I was like, oh, this is so
that
long.
One dragged on for fucking ever. Yeah. I don't care if there was message. I get it. There's a message. Beautiful, blah blah, mm-hmm. fitting in me. Like I just. I hated it. I hated it so much.
Yeah. What did you give this one?
I gave it a 1 because of the taxidermy. That's
you know what?
It.
We finally agree on a score. I gave this a 1 Bloody Mary too. It gets 1 point for the MILF, and you give it a point for the taxidermy. Well, yeah. Let's move on to the 5th fifth one in the Cabinet of Curiosities is Pikmin's Model, directed by Keith Thomas, starring Ben Barnes and Crispin Glover. And this one is about an art student, Will, meets introvert Richard, whose terrifying works of art begin to have a deeply disturbing effect on Will's sense of reality. And this is another one that was Victorian era or the plague era as well.
I think it's a little forward in time, early 1900s.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
I don't think it was plague time, but I think it's, you know, again, because they had they have electricity.
They were
least,
just starting
right?
to get electricity. Yeah. So maybe that's 1800s. I don't know.
We are not historians.
I ain't knowing my histories.
I slept through that class.
What did you think about Pikmin's Model?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
That's kind of what I got about it too.
As an artist myself, I enjoyed the art.
Yeah, the art was cool. The art segments were pretty fun.
I think the ending was like,
I don't even remember the ending. Spoilers. Like, no, you don't.
No spoilers. Okay. Yeah. I'm not spoiling.
I mean, you can if you'd like. Spoilers for ending. Spoilers for the ending of Pikmin's Model. Go ahead.
Well, like his wife was the possessed one, gouged out her eyes and then cooked their kid in the oven. Like the ending, he opens the oven and their kid's head is in there.
Okay, maybe.
So it's a bit disturbing at the end.
What, didn't a creature come out of
the
well?
Yeah, the creature came out of the well, killed Crispin Glover.
Okay,
he goes home.
This is my problem with this one. There's too much going on.
There was a lot going
on. This one was like an hour and something. And to me, this felt like this was a feature film and they crushed it down to make it fit into this series. Like someone had a feature script. And I feel like this idea, if it was given another half hour or 40 minutes, like these ideas could have been fleshed out more.
Right, because there was like a witch sort of was the premise of the painting that he showed him.
There was so much going on.
And
yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was a demon and it was,
Yeah. So, and then there was like time jumps that were confusing to me at times. Like all of a sudden it jumped to when he's older and then it goes back to when he's younger.
Right.
And the only difference is like, I think a gray thing
and
his
hair. Gray hair and a mustache.
Yeah.
Billy Russo with a gray streak and a mustache.
Crispin Glover was fun.
He was fun.
I like
He's
when
always
he does
fun,
things.
I think.
I wanted him to do his Friday the 13th dance, but you know, he didn't, and that's fine. Yeah, I think I just like my biggest thing with this one is it crammed too much in to where I don't remember a lot of it.
Right.
Yeah, the plot got lost for me. And this is fine. It was a take it or leave it for me. I don't really have much else to say about it.
Yeah. I'm like, I like the art.
Yeah.
But
I give this one a 5 Bloody Marys.
Same? Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, moving on.
Okay. What's up next?
The sixth one is Dreams in the Witch House, directed by Catherine Hardwicke, starring Ron Weasley and DJ Qualls.
Yes. The lady that directed Twilight. The first one.
Oh, is that who that is?
Mm-hmm.
So did she direct the wolf one too?
No, she just did the very first one.
No, the movie with
the Little Red Riding Hood one? Yes, she
okay.
did.
Okay. Has she directed any other film since those two?
She has. She's done a couple.
Okay. I didn't know that. That doesn't do anything for me with everything.
Yeah,
so this one's like, okay, this one's about years after his twin sister's death, a researcher ventures into a dark, mysterious realm with the aid of a special drug determined to bring her sister back.
Right. And this is an H.P. Lovecraft one.
Is it?
It is.
Mm.
Based on H.P. Lovecraft story.
This one for me is another kind of take it or leave it. And I kind of feel the same about the other one to where they crammed so much into this one. And I think this one was a feature script too, or it should have been. I feel like this also to flesh out ideas could have used another 30 minutes.
Right.
And it shares some of the same similarities with that one too, where there's like a witch. The witch stuff was cool.
The witch stuff was really cool.
I did like the witch stuff, but also there was like a mutant human faced rat. And like, I don't remember the ending. And then so much was going in and out of worlds, people believing, not believing. There's a witch, there's a mouse, there's curses.
Right.
They're at a house. It was so much happening that it lost me kind of. What are your thoughts on it?
Kind of the same as the last one. There was some art in it that got me inspired, like some triangle.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
The triangle canvases, which I'm now incorporating into my art installation because I drew inspiration from it.
Yeah.
But it was still, it was like the witch was cool, but it was And at the ending, you're like, it should have ended at a certain spot, and then it kind of kept going.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what is this weird rat human face? Another rat busting out of body. Like,
it, yeah,
the rat
was
thing
odd.
Was like odd.
Yeah.
Because it didn't really explain what the fuck the rat thing was.
Yeah. There was so much going on.
Besides DJ Qualls.
Yeah. Which he just did the voice for it.
Right.
And I think maybe his face.
It was hard to tell since it was squished down on a tiny rat.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But, you know, it's always good to see the Harry Potter kids going out and trying new things. And it's like, oh, look, Ron Weasley, you should just do Harry Potter.
I'm like going through and James is like, wait, what Harry Potter movie is this? And I was like, it's not a Harry Potter movie.
Right? Like, you could pop, I could see that, right?
Yeah.
Because that like, rat looks like the rat from Harry Potter.
Right.
What's it? Yeah. Right?
It was Ron's rat, too.
Yes, see?
I can't remember his name. It was Peter Pettigrew.
I don't know.
Peter something.
Pettigrew the dog food. Yes. So what do you rate this sucker?
I give this one a 6 because I liked the witch better, and
gotcha.
The art was more inspiring for me. Mm. So
I went a step down and gave this one a 4. Mm. Yeah. Yep. I didn't. Yeah. No. 4 Bloody Marys. All right, moving on. The 7th film is The Viewing, directed by Panos Cosmatos, starring Peter Weller, Eric Andre, and a cool cast as well. It's about a wealthy recluse hosts 4 accomplished guests at his stylish mansion for a once-in-a-lifetime experience, but their intrigue soon turns into terror.
Right.
What'd you think of this?
I thought this was the funniest one.
Yeah?
This one made me laugh
yes.
the most.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, it had a different feel than the others. It had like a cool, like it kind of, like I put it as the one you like, one of the ones you like the most because of like the music like the beginning shot in the car and like just the tone a little bit. I liked it. It was not like, it's not in the, for me, it's like, not in the middle like the last two.
Yeah.
It's one up, but not quite in my top 3.
I love this one. I really did. I felt like I've never seen, people have like emulated the 70s before, but I've never seen it in such a cool and stylish way with the lighting, like things were yellow. Just the cinematography and the set design was amazing. It was a lot funnier. I thought it was going to be as it got going. I love the characters, I love the plot, and I love the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And spoiler warning for this one real quick. So I love the fact that you think, or at least I did, that something evil and menacing is going on, like they're bringing these people here for like a Saw type thing or a weird thing. But that's not what it was. It was just some rich people that wanted to that wanted to show them the cool alien thing they found.
Right.
And that's really what it was.
I just want to show you this cool alien rock.
Okay.
But then also, like, historically speaking, let's look at this cool alien rock. Never ends well.
Yeah.
Never ends
all
well.
All right. So, end spoilers. You can jump back in. So I really like that in this, like, they give them the best cocaine in the world, the best weed in the world, the best drinks in the world.
Yeah, their favorite
drinks.
They're
playing, like, the best music, arguably, in the world for this whole thing. I think so. This director has done 3 films. I haven't seen his first one, but I saw Mandy with Nicolas Cage, and this is his second. And I think this director is finding his groove, and I think this is the better than Mandy. I think in Mandy, there wasn't really any comedic moments. There was no levity aside from just Nicolas Cage being himself.
Right.
But this one had the same tone as that, but it had those comedic moments with the characters that were a lot of fun.
It was.
And that made like, it not a daunting task to watch his style when you have that humor and that lightness in there.
Right. And we talked about, because you're like, oh, this is the same person that directed Mandy. And then I was like, oh, you can tell. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Sometimes you watch a director and you're like, or at least for me, because I'm not as knowledgeable and as I'm not a director or as you are. So it's harder for me to be like, oh, this person is this director, because you can tell.
Yeah.
And like right when I'm watching it and I was like, I'm getting a man. And like in my head, I'm like, I'm getting a Mandy film. And you're like, oh, then you're like, oh, I'm like, oh, that makes perfect fucking sense. Like you totally, it's still his style. It's his groove.
Yeah.
And I agree. It's funnier than Mandy. It has those comedic moments. Had a great cast that played off each other really well.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the deaths were super fucking cool.
And then like mini spoiler, there's a, There's a creature moment at the end that was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ending shot of like the city that this is the only one of all these of all the Cabinet Curiosities that made me want a sequel. Like I want
right, what happened?
Because this one, like much like the other, like other ones have like kind of like fate sealed, not much is left open.
Right.
This one, there's like some stuff's open, like some people live and then there's something else on the loose. I really love this one.
Mm-hmm.
This one was a lot of fun for me. Like you said, like after 2 minutes in, I was looking, all right, who is this? This is, and then I saw, and here's a funny thing too. On this day, we were deciding, are we going to watch this or are we going to watch Rambo First Blood Part 2?
Right.
And then, so we picked this one and I'm like, holy shit, because Cosmatos, his father directed Rambo Part 2 and he
right.
directed The Viewing. So we had a Cosmatos weird
watch
moment.
Off.
Yeah.
Which one are we going to pick, father or son?
Yep.
And we didn't even know it.
No, I know. That was really cool. So I'm going to rate this. This is a solid 10 Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
This is my favorite one of the series for sure. This is definitely a standout.
I think I give it an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So I thought this was going to be one you didn't like. Okay.
No, I liked
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was not, like I said, it's not my top three.
Yeah.
It's my 4.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So the last one in the Cabinet of Curiosities season 1 is The Murmuring, directed by Jennifer Kent, starring Rick Grimes.
Fucking, I hate his. Okay, so we would watch Walking Dead and I fucking hated Rick. He always looked wet. He always was just fucking stupid and annoying. I hated him. And I was like, okay, maybe I just don't like the character Rick.
Yeah.
And then we watched this and I'm like, nope, I just don't like him. I don't like his face. I don't like it.
Well, we're
going
to have to watch Love Actually because he's in there.
Too. I've seen Love Actually and it's okay.
Yes.
I don't like his face.
That's
I just
fine.
Don't.
That's
can't
fine.
Do it.
I mean, I get it. Like,
I was like,
trying
maybe
to think of like dudes' faces I don't like. Oh, gosh.
I don't know. There's just something about the way he acts. I don't know. It just doesn't work for me.
Robert fucking Duvall. Robert Duvall. I don't like that man's face.
Yeah.
Yeah. old he's a good actor. Ah, I don't like watching him. Yeah.
Ah, same. Yeah. Andrew Lincoln. I'm sorry, dude. Can't do it.
I was trying to think like in the world of female actresses whose face I don't really enjoy Angelina Jolie's face that much.
Really?
People like think she's super hot and stuff and I get it, but I don't like looking at you.
No.
Rather look at Brad Pitt and like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like he's the better part of that.
I mean, I agree with that, but I also like Angelina Jolie.
No, I'd rather, you know, if like they're there and like we're gonna make out with one of them, it's Brad Pitt.
Oh, for sure, Brad Pitt.
I'm not gonna make out with Angelina Jolie. I'm sorry.
I mean, I would make out with Brad Pitt before her too, so I get
but
it.
Anyway, so we'll go back to The Murmuring. So the plot is mourning a major loss. Ornithologist Nancy and Edgar flock to a secluded home to study birds, but the house's history reveals heartbreak and horror. This is so dumb. I said, birds. They're bird watchers and they're going to a house to record birds.
They study birds. So what did you think of it?
The ending was dumb. We watched it. I'm like, all this for that?
Mm-hmm.
I like the style. I think the cinematography is really great. We'll go with some positives. I think that arguably this is the best acting from these two from the mm-hmm. whole series. I did not like the plot. I get it. It's about marriage. It's about mourning. It's about loss. It's about acceptance. It's about understanding. I get all that, but it was so boring.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I didn't. Okay. So the acting, what they were very emotional. It was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I think those two handled that really well, acting. And it is, you know, a portrait of grief and how each person deals with it and yada, yada. And I really liked her. I liked, she brought so much emotion.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. But also, I didn't like his face. I kind of like watching his face. And also, like, that's how you end this?
Yeah.
So you have, this is the, oh my gosh, can I spoil? I'm spoiling.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. This is the only one that ends up on like a happy, cathartic note.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because this is not what you, like all seven before, there was no happy cathartic ending.
There was like partial happy endings.
There was but there was still like, it just didn't fit. To me, it didn't fit with what the anthology did.
Yeah.
It was completely like out of place for me. And the plot, you're so, like...
End spoilers.
Okay.
All right.
And the plot was like, okay. And because you could have done cooler things with that.
Yeah, because inside of that story, there's a haunting in this house that they're at.
Right.
So they're dealing with that. That's like the side part. The major thing is like they're dealing with loss and grief.
Right.
For the I think because like towards the end of it, I'm like, well, is this happening? Is that happening? Is this happening? Is this what it is? Because we're trying to like, it's getting close to the end. What's happening? And then it was just the thing.
Then it was like, that's it?
Yeah. So here's what, just thinking about it now, I think this would be serviced better as a stage play. I think this would be a really fantastic, almost two-person act, changing scenes. I think this would be a fantastic stage play.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, for me, it's not a great film.
No, I didn't particularly enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it was emotional. They handled that well. It wasn't like they didn't bring that.
Yeah.
But it drug on. It was like a lot of things could have been avoided.
Yeah, right.
And then you ended on this note, which great for that film, but also it felt so out of place with what just came before.
Yeah.
Like it's part of an anthology and all the other ones kind of had touches of the other ones inside of it, right?
Really?
Yeah, kind of. So like, you know, there's
I didn't
rats,
pick up on that. Okay.
Goop encasing a person. That's happened twice. Like there was things that were woven in and kind of like reminiscent of sorts from the other ones before it. And this one was just not.
Yeah.
None of that really came out. It just felt so out of place in the anthology that you've given us in the seven before.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and it was drug on a little too long as well.
Yes. Yes,
so it could have been a lot shorter.
Yeah, we could have used less shots of birds. What do you give this one?
I give it a 3.
I give this one a 5. I think this is another like middle of the road one. It has a lot of good qualities, a lot of bad qualities. So those were it. There was only 8 of them, in the Cabinet of Curiosities. And so thinking about the series overall, just overall, what do you give Cabinet of Curiosities season 1 as a rating? For me, you want me to go first?
Yes.
It's a 6. It's a solid 6 Bloody Marys. I would love for them to get a season 2. I'm not sure if they got greenlit or not, but I would like for that score to go up to an 8. That'd be cool.
I agree. You know, I agree with that. Yeah. I think it was middle of the road. There was some, like you said, there was some ones where you're like, I really like these, but then there was,
I think keep them shorter, less old timey ones, because I feel like we had like 5, I know we didn't, but like 5 plague era ones.
Right.
Or that style.
Right. I would love to see a season 2. I love to see some maybe horror directors.
Yeah.
You know, a little more of those. And it's fun to see the celebrity, you know, the actors who come in to do these.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'd like to see them get a season 2 and see if they can bump it up or if we're just going to get that.
You know what would make it go up a little higher? Have me direct one.
Yeah.
Del Toro, come on, hit me up. I'll do one. Don't worry. I'll make it a lot of fun. I'll be the one in the middle that like lightens stuff up. Just bring me
give you some gore, but also make you laugh.
What are your 3 favorites then? And what are your...
Okay, so my 3 favorites
seated
are The Autopsy.
Okay.
Graveyard Rats and Lot 36. I liked 1, 2, 3.
Autopsy. Okay, I put The Murmuring. I thought you were going to like that one a lot more.
I didn't. His face brings it way down.
What were your 3 or your least favorites then?
Dreams in the Witch House.
Yeah, got that one.
The Murmuring.
No.
And The Outside.
Okay, I put The Viewing on there. So my favorites were The Viewing by far was a clear number one. Peter Weller. He was great. He was fucking great. RoboCop, man. And then 2nd, Graveyard Rats. That was number 1 until I saw The Viewing.
Okay, I have that one.
And then 3rd was Lot 36.
Okay.
I think that was a really fun way to kick off. I like the short runtime. Really, I love that stuff.
I got 2 out of 3.
My least favorite, we'll go in this order. Third least favorite is Dreams in the Witch House.
We agree on that.
Second least favorite is The Fucking Autopsy.
We disagreed on that.
And The Outsider is the worst one of the
Yeah, bunch. We agreed. That was like clearly...
Yeah.
Like we didn't talk a lot, but that one we were both like, what the fuck so, are we watching?
So our divisive one is The Autopsy.
Yeah.
And you loved it. I loved it.
You hated it.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
And you thought I'd like The Murmuring way more than I did. That was like my... Aside from The Outside, my least favorite of, for the series.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it's no, there is a place. But I'm glad that, you know, I know there's like a lot of anthologies out there and it's hard to keep up with them. So I'm glad we got to watch this one. I did like how he would introduce them like old Hitchcock style. How I like how there was the cabinet and then he would like open up a certain thing
that
and
was fun.
He'd pull out like a something that has to do with the film. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I like that.
Yeah, I liked the opening. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they get a season 2.
Yeah.
I want to see what they do.
And you know, even like the ones that we think are bad, what I can say about this is it seems like they were all given proper support. It feels like every single one of these had the resources, had the money to make their vision come alive.
I think so too.
I mean, I don't really know numbers, but I want to say that they're fucking, I don't know, $5 million each a budget, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
I don't see it being any less than $2 million. An episode.
Yeah.
I can see some getting up into like 10 million, honestly.
I mean, the viewing had a lot of...
Yeah, but the thing about that is they also, I think he was pretty budget friendly with like his locations.
His location.
It was like you're on a road, you're in a van, and then for the most part, you're in that room.
True, and like, true.
And I think it was smart to like design that one place really well with that chandelier and then the sunken
living room seating type area.
The set design is so
crazy.
The set
design was cool.
With that. I love it. Yeah, it was funny. I like the at the end where he drops his wants his cocaine, he drops it and then like tries to grab it. It was really fun.
And the girl's like, we need to get the fuck out.
Yeah. It was cool. And little things like in the viewing too, like you just established something in the beginning as simple as she's really good at driving. And then end, she's really good at driving.
Right.
that was really fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, do you have anything else to say about the Cabinet of Curiosities?
I don't think so. I think it was fun.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed getting to see the different, you know, episodes and the different takes on it. But
it took us a while to watch it, but we did.
It did, yeah.
So go check it out. And what were your favorite episodes of Cabinet of Curiosities?
Drop us a line.
You like ones we don't? You like the ones we do? All that stuff.
Help me convince Jesse that The Autopsy is good.
No, it's dog shit. Everyone's wrong. I'm right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Our Bloody Marys are dead, and so are we.
All right, drink in moderation. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bloody Mary. Yeah.